too. That is. I find that time and time again lately, every time I'm assigned to preach, it's my turn to preach, and I'm assigned a topic, which it was this time, I get working on it, and I get this feeling, this is the most important sermon I could preach in the whole world. And it did occur to me that maybe it's a bit of a premonition that it might be my last. And so it is important from that perspective. You guys my age do drop off, you know. But if it was my last, if this was my last sermon, what sermon could I preach that would be more practical, more helpful, more life-enriching, more impactful than a sermon exhorting you to be grateful? To live life with gratitude. Gratitude to God and gratitude to one another. And so I'm taking that twofold focus here today in calling us. It's Thanksgiving, after all, Thanksgiving weekend, so we're just going to keep it simple. I'm calling you to be thankful, each one of us, to give thanks and to excel in the grace of gratitude. It still fits in the theme of dream again. You know, how do you get that attitude of celebration, life's good, future is happy and positive, and everything's okay? Gratitude, I think, is foundational to that. And that's what we're calling. God wants us to be those kind of people, living with joy, living with thanksgiving, and living with a sense of His empowerment. Well, I have, in my part, the sermon comes to you in two parts today. In my part, I'm going to call you to hold before you four benefits of being a grateful person. Benefit number one, gratitude puts us on the path of God's plan for us. Do you see the potential of that? Do you want to be on a path that you know God has called you to and is a path of blessing? It's profoundly, tremendously potential. And God wants us to have that. So how do we know that God wants us to be grateful people? Well, let's just look in the Bible. This isn't a message on pop psychology, you know. This is a biblical message I'm going to give you. Deep theological truths are hidden in here. And I hope that you will grasp that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The hallmark grace of Christians, those who have discovered and are trying to follow Jesus, should be gratitude, grateful, always be thankful. It couldn't get any clearer than that. Be thankful. What about Psalm 34:1? One more. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. There's another interesting verse on gratitude in Romans chapter 1, which doesn't have quite the ring of triumphalism in it, but here's what it says in Romans chapter 1, but it reinforces the importance of gratitude. Romans 1, 18 to 20. But God shows His anger from heaven against sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. See, here, lack of gratitude is linked with the idea of being far from God. It's linked with people who are rejecting God. It's linked with the most wretched spiritual condition, resisting God. Even give Him thanks. That's the least you can do. And we should do, and God is calling us to it. So, living with an attitude of gratitude aligns our life with the wonderful plan that God has for us. And there's no way of living life that brings greater joy and greater satisfaction and greatest fulfillment than living life according to God's plan. God has a wonderful plan for our life, and gratitude is foundational to it. And God, so I'm calling us here to do that. So that's number one. It puts us on God's plan, and it draws us closer to God. There are some people who are a little afraid of God. They kind of hold back because they, you know, if I really get close to God, I would feel His judgment. I would feel He'd probably scold me. He would probably judge me. He would probably reject me. But that's not the picture that the Bible in Jesus presents us of God. No, God, when we come to God, He loves us and gives us a sense of worth and value and lifts us up. And so gratitude draws us to God and draws us down to God, is part of God's plan. Second benefit of gratitude is gratitude tests and builds our faith. Here I was, of all the verses I could use to support it, try James 1, 2-4. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow, so let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character and full and complete. That your faith, it strengthens our faith. Well, there is a challenge when we face difficulty to be filled with gratitude. But I've observed lots of times difficulty kind of draws people to God. And when they're in difficulty, then all of a sudden they call out to God. They call to the community to praise God. And they discover a spiritual awakening in difficulty. It seems to me that perhaps the greater challenge for the people of God is to be grateful in the midst when everything is going well. See, I see people who are in good health and have good jobs and their families are fine. And you'd think they'd have every reason to be filled with gratitude. And yet, you listen to them, they do a lot of complaining. And they don't exude gratitude. They excuse, you know, complaints and criticism and just kind of have a negative aura. How wrong is that? God wants us to have a sense of praise and joy. It builds our faith. It builds our faith because the minute you start focusing on the blessings of God and thanking God, it opens your eyes. So that you'll see more and it'll draw you to God, draw you closer to God. And I think we're going to hear more about that later. Yes, being mindful of the good things that God is doing will build our faith in amazing ways. You want to have grown your faith and start paying attention and to what God is doing. I'm going to go to number two. I'm already on number two. I'm going to number three here. We're zipping right along. Gratitude produces contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So if we have enough food and clothing, verse 8, let us be content. And then in Philippians, we have this wonderful testimony from Paul where he says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. Contentment is really an issue of submitting to the sovereignty of God. We recognize that God has put us in a place, and we are in our place, partly through our own choices and partly through choices that other people have made over which we have no control. But it's all under the sovereignty of God. And so where we are, we can be grateful for. We know it's God's plan that we are where we are. And we can't go back and change it, but God will meet us there. Contentment accepts that our life will have limits. I have a quote here from Rick Warren. I get his daily devotional in my inbox, and sometimes I read it, and sometimes it's very good. But here, this one day this week, this was very good. He says, "We live in a culture that constantly tells us, you can do it all, you can have it all, you can be whatever you want to be. But that's not true. You can't be what you want to be. You can only be what God wants you to be. There are limits in your life." And that was a helpful concept, is that our culture kind of expands and makes it think that, you know, we're trapped in this world and somehow someone has stopped us from having all that we maybe had dreamed in our wildest dreams. No, lack of contentment, I would say, is really a form of rebellion. I know that's a very strong word. But if we're not content, we're rebelling against the sovereignty of God. We're rebelling and rejecting our station in life, which has been assigned to us. So lack of contentment comes from selfishness, bitterness, arrogance, greed, narcissism, covetousness, judgmentalism, critical spirit. All these things make us discontented, comparing ourselves with other people. Yet God wants us. So the call to gratitude is, we'll bring. I had a discussion with someone this week about which comes first. Are you grateful because you're contented, or does gratitude produce contentment? Well, it could be both, but I think really gratitude leads the way. If you want to be content, you have to start being grateful and being thankful for what you have and God wants us to have. I think gratitude is the best antidote there is for discontent and restlessness and being critical and angry about what has happened to you. So God wants us to have this sense of contentment. By neglecting the grace of gratitude, we really are sabotaging ourselves and our success and our happiness in life. Because you cannot be happy in life without gratitude. And so if we place this obstacle in our life, an obstacle to happiness, by not being grateful, why wouldn't we remove it? And I'm calling for us to remove it here today. I'm calling for us to repent. Repent of all the ways that we've ignored and been insensitive and had spiritual blindness. Take the blinders off. Let's receive and start focusing on the good things. And it will do wonders in so many areas of our life. All areas of our life, really. So that's contentment. Let's go to gratitude, number four. Gratitude brings joy to our relationships. Expressing gratitude is a way of honoring others. So here's my... I couldn't find directly a verse that says that gratitude will lubricate all your relationships. That's not a verse, but I think it's true. There are biblical principles, and some of you might be able to help me. I didn't take the time to find that verse. But here's my verse for gratitude bringing joy to our relationships. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Take delight in honoring each other. So here we're talking about gratitude toward one another. And so it will lubricate our relationships. It's a way of honoring. Isn't it? You honor someone when you thank them. And it will do good for you and for them. You know, when I was thinking about honoring other people and what that of particularly of the idea of joy, of gratitude bringing joy to a relationship, my thoughts went to a book that I don't read many novels, but in the past year I did read one novel. I might have read more, but I can think of one right now. A Man Called Uwe. If you've read A Man Called Uwe, Uwe is a Swedish character, and if I didn't check it to see, but this is my memory of the book. Uwe is a Swedish laborer kind of guy. He's kind of antisocial and awkward socially and kind of a nasty character and rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And, you know, the first take on the guy is people don't like him. But Uwe meets this wonderful woman, a trophy wife, and she falls in love with him and they get married. And everybody who sees them and knows them feels sorry for the wife because she's married to this inept husband. But the wife does not feel sorry for herself for 1 minute. She loves the guy unconditionally, just accepts him and just praises him. And it's just an amazing story, a romance story of how this woman responds to this husband. And to me, that's an example of, you know, I've said this. Some of you are going to say, oh, Peter, don't say that again. You know, there's enough wrong in every marriage that if you focus on what's wrong, you can have a very ugly time. And sometimes it breaks marriages apart. And there's, I also say, on the other hand, there's enough good in every marriage. If you focus on what's good, then you can overcome all the other things. And that's what this one, so that to me, A Man Called Uwe story, it's a powerful example of the redemption that gratitude brings to imperfect situations and relationships. You can deem relationships. You got a problem with somebody? Start feeling grateful. Start thanking them. Start focusing on the positive things. Here I'm going off script a little bit, but I'm reminded right now of the man who married a singer. Her name was Lydia, and she had a beautiful, stunning voice, but she wasn't very good looking. And one morning he wakes up and he looks over at Lydia and just can't believe he married somebody that ugly. And as he's sitting there, he looks at her and then he says, "Sing, Lydia, sing." See? Focus on the positive qualities. Focus on the positive qualities. Well, we all have examples where we've been encouraged by somebody's gratitude. I felt somewhat awed by what happened to me 2 years ago when I got my negative cancer prognosis and diagnosis and prognosis with my aggressive prostate cancer. And word got out that I was dying, and it seemed I was. It surprised me how many people, dozens of people that I hadn't seen or heard from in years, they'd call me or they'd visit me or they'd send me emails, encouraging emails of how they'd appreciate what I'd done for them somewhere along the way in my pastoral career. It was positively heartwarming. And I was thinking, boy, if I would have known how much I was appreciated as a pastor, I wouldn't have quit pastoring. Well, that's right. I never did quit pastoring. Well, think of the expressions of gratitude in relationships. Think of how it could change things. Gratitude. Change the atmosphere in a home. In marriage. This week, morning, I was making coffee in the kitchen, and as I do when I get up, and Diane came down in her pajamas, and just after I'd finished emptying the dishwasher, and she heaps praise on me for emptying the dishwasher, and I received it warmly and gladly, and I said, "Well, isn't it strange, Diane, that I do the smallest little thing here in the kitchen? And you show me all this appreciation. Whereas you do 80% of the work in the house, and a lot of it I take for granted, and I shouldn't." What, you don't think 80-20 is a good ratio? Well, I'm still working. And that's the division of labor we have right now. And we're both thrilled with it. But I was telling Diane this when we were walking. Some of you are thinking, you're lucky she's down the hall or she might stand up on protest. She's in children's ministry. I told her when she's not going to be in to hear me sermons, then I think I'm going to share parts of it. I shared this part of that I was going to say this. And she laughed. And then later I'm thinking, why did Diane laugh so much? Was she just laughing because she thought it was funny? Or was she laughing at the idea that I think I did 20% of the work? You never know. You can't build a relationship, though, on math. You can't. You show appreciation. And I resolved to show more appreciation for her. Is your marriage in a tough spot? Redeem it by showing gratitude. Is your work, your job, in a tough spot? Redeem it by showing gratitude. You know, how often do I hear people... Well, at least I wouldn't say this very often, but I have heard a person complain bitterly about his job. And I look at him, I look at his skill set and his qualifications and the job and the pay he gets. And I'm thinking, buddy, you should be happy. If you lose that job, you'll never get another job that'll pay as much as you're getting right now. Don't complain. Be happy. Be grateful. If your job's in a tough spot, be grateful. Your circumstance, your children, your family. Show gratitude. God wants us. Gratitude brings joy to relationships. Well, now I want you to listen to the testimony of Arlene. Arlene, come on up here. Should I lift this up here so the people can see it?
Can I stay on the floor?
Can you stay on the floor? What? Sure. You're just like a model. You're nice and tall.
Thank you. A nice dress. Thank you.
So if that works for you, yeah, absolutely. So Arlene is a member of a church here and involved, and she has an amazing testimony about gratitude. And so I'm not going to coach you or quiz you. Just go for it. And
which
you want this one here? Can you just grab
it? Up? I just didn't really want to grab it.
Do you want to hold it?
No. Is that okay?
Well, would it be better to get...
I showed up on my feet on my phone. Crazy.
Is that good?
That's great. Thanks.
Okay.
Is that higher? There we go. Great. Thanks. That's not part of my time, Peter.
Oh, I did say. I wanted to say I've allotted about 8 minutes to her, give or take, and so. She'll be fine. She has attended Toastmasters, and so she qualifies.
In a few years, okay. So give me a break, yeah. I did tell him I might go a little overtime. So I like that one song that said, Hallelujahs be multiplied. Some of you guys have seen this pile here. This is my gift journaling, and you'll hear a little bit more about it. But these are the years of just recording all my daily gifts that God gives me. So I loved how that song said, hallelujahs be multiplied, because that is multiplied, let me tell you. So I started journaling about 2 years. Oh, and I'm reading my notes because of his time limit he's put on me. Otherwise, I'd be off everywhere else. Thanks. I started journaling about 2 years ago, or 2 years after I'd separated from my husband. So we separated about 11 years ago, and so say in the last 9 years, and I was in a class called Divorce Care, and it was suggested that you record your thoughts so that they would get them out of your mind, because you know what we're like, they tend to swirl around a little bit, and it would get in front of us, and we could see it down on paper. And so I started to do that. I thought, well, let me see if this is going to work for me or not, because I wasn't sleeping very well either. And so I found it very therapeutic. It was just amazing how within the first year I just kept journaling all these thoughts that I was having. But I didn't journal daily. I journaled when I had a court case with my divorce, and it didn't go the way I wanted. Or I journaled when I'd get off the phone with my ex-husband after a big fight. And I noticed that everything I tended to journal was really negative. And I wanted to stop that. I thought, I don't want to always see this negative sitting in front of me. I want it to try and be a little bit more positive. And I also noticed my books were being used to vent over having to talk to my mom or my son or my friends. That became my venting area. So in April 2014, I took a six-week study, a ladies' Bible study called, it was a book that's called 1,000 Gifts. And the book is designed to help you see every day the blessings or gifts that God gives us. So I have a little bit of a competitive spirit in me, and I decided to see in the 6 weeks how many blessings would I have to record every day to get to 1,000 within the six-week course. And it took 25 per day to do that. So at first I thought, oh, no problem. I can handle this. I got a lot of good stuff going on in my life. And at first, it was pretty easy. The first week actually flew by. 25 was pretty easy. You talk about your kid, your parents, you know, all the simple stuff. But only a week went by, and I struggled to find 25 per day. So I noticed that as I was reading the book, it started teaching me to be aware of things in front of me. And to look past the little things and just to, you know, kind of refocus your thoughts. So all of a sudden I saw, with probably a week after that, I noticed that writing 25 was actually quite easy because throughout the day I was really paying attention to things going on in my life, but paying attention to all the good and also paying attention to all the negative that was going on in my life too. Things like waking up before the alarm and actually feeling refreshed on 5 hours of sleep. The sound of the rain on the window meant I didn't have to get up and water my grass because I didn't like to do that. Clean drinking water from the tap, thankful that I lived somewhere that I could do that. My Bible. Being up early to watch the sun come up over the crest, that I had eyes to see it. That my furnace still kicked in, even though I'm sure my house, it was as old as my house, which was 50 years old. And that I had money in my bank account the day before payday. And as a single mom, that really meant a lot to me, that God brought me to that place. Over the next few weeks, I noticed I was actually taking situations in my life that were, you know, things that made me really angry or just frustrated me. And I tried to look for the good in them, because life isn't always easy. So how could I see all the good that was going on in these bad things that were happening to me? And I learned to think, you know, instead of saying, why me? I learned to say, well, why not? Why shouldn't I go through this? My journal entries went like this. So thankful for the hard times so I can learn to trust God. Stuck in traffic for over an hour, but thankful I used that time to have a conversation with God about things going on in my life. I was problem solving on the number one highway. And it helped me arrive home in a much better mood. The freezer part of the fridge still working, even though the fridge had died. Bonus. By the end of the 6 weeks, I noticed I was thinking very different than when I started my course. You see, normally the negative will outweigh the positive in our lives. That was changing for me. All of a sudden, I was helping other people look at the positive of a negative situation. And not everyone likes that. Not a lot of people like somebody to point out all the good that's going on when there's a bad thing happening in their life. I decided not to stop my challenge. I continued to record my daily gifts from God as I liked how good it made me feel. I loved to see and experience the gifts that God gave me every single day. It's now been 2.5 years since I started the practice of recording the gifts that God gives me every day. Today I have over 25,443 gifts recorded, and I can honestly say it's changed my way of looking at every situation that comes to me each and every day. Sometimes I don't see it at the time, but when I sit down in the morning to record the gifts from the day before, God speaks to me and says, did you see me? Did you hear what I had to say to you through that person? Did you feel my loving arms around you when the pain of the situation overwhelmed you? And sometimes as I sit and record the gifts, tears flow. And it's not from how good God was to me, but how close he was to me at the time, and yet I didn't notice it. The author of 1,000 Gifts says practicing gratitude moves Thanksgiving from a holiday to a lifestyle. And I must say that really is what did it for me. So what are the benefits of recording my gifts? Well, first of all, it reminds me how much God loves me each and every day. He's so close to me all the time, and when I open my eyes and see him at work, I feel him right beside me. As time goes on, that relationship becomes stronger as I notice him more and more. Second, it helps me every day to be thanking him for how good he is to me when I certainly don't feel I deserve it. I know he loves to hear me acknowledge him. It's in those moments that I feel him the most. Third, it helps me to see that even when bad or sad things happen, he's not allowing it to hurt me, but to help me become the woman he's designed me to be. How incredible is that? My journal is full of hard stuff that I wish I didn't have to go through. My divorce, my dad dying, my best friend dying this last April 17th, and then 3 months later, my ex-husband dying on July 17th. God has taken me to a different level of understanding him that I never would have come to had I not gone through that. Recording the gifts along the way showed me that when times got hard, I was able to rise up and be the woman God wanted me to become. He was there every step of the way. And last, but certainly not least, recording the gifts daily has taught me to trust God, even when I don't have a clue what he's up to. And I don't like that. I'll be honest with you. I can honestly say that it's probably been the greatest gift he's given me over the years. I read my journal entries, and I see page after page after page of his faithfulness to me, even when I couldn't see it. There's a great song out right now by Lauren Daigle called I Will Trust in You. The chorus goes like this. When you don't move the mountain, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Seeing God's love through the words on each page of my journal is the main reason I continue to record my gifts. I love to feel, see, and hear just how much God loves me each and every day. Besides the gift of my mom being here today to support me, and I'm so happy she's here. She just showed up at my house yesterday, so I invited her. Speaking to you will be recorded tomorrow morning as a gift that God gave me, an opportunity to share his faithfulness, love, and grace that he provides every single moment of my day. Thank you, Father.
Wow, thanks, Arlene. That's just amazing. It's amazing. I think you validated everything I was trying to say in my words, and to be doing it. God has impressed upon me the importance of repentance. We need to repent of all the complaining we've done and all the things we've not thanked God for. And I was thinking, you know, I wish we had carpet floors here that I could ask you to kneel in repentance. Is anybody just, you know, I got carpet. If God moves, if you've got good knees and you want to just pray, I'm going to pray. I want to say a few words and I'm going to pray. Gratitude is a choice. Gratitude is a discipline. Gratitude is an act of faith. Let's repent of how much damage we've done to relationships, our lack of gratitude, and damage we've done to ourselves, missing out on God's best. Let's pray. Lord, we bow in repentance. We bend our knee before you in brokenness. We have violated such an obvious repeated commandment. But we thank you that your grace covers it all. So we claim that forgiveness, complete in Christ. Thank you that we can express gratitude here today. And so help us today to be a blessing on this Thanksgiving, in our family gatherings, in our marriage, that somehow we'll surprise someone by how grateful and thankful we are, and that we will bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you filled out a card, please make your way. The worship team, Ajay and the team, are going to lead us in another song. And so if you want to fill it out, and then we'll just take a minute or a couple of minutes that we'll see what's out there.